online. Yep. So with that, I'm going to call our meeting to order. And I'll note for the record that we don't have a full contingent here, but we do have a quorum, and that's what matters. And so I'm going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, so please rise and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number two is approval of the agenda. Any board members wishing to make any modifications to the agenda?
Move to approve the agenda.
We have a motion. Is there a second? We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And did you get who the motion and the second were? Perfect. All right. Cedarborg was the motion. Greg was second. All right. Public presentations. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on any items that are not listed on the agenda? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. Moving on to item four, discussion regarding the appointment of members to the audit committee. And under item 4A, CAO appointment of Carrie Gilbert, Director of Child Support Services, as audit committee department head council member. And so with that, we're going to take both of these together. And then B, invitation to interested individuals to apply for the public member vacancy at the https://bosbcc.co.fresno.ca.us /. So if you are listening into this meeting, we would encourage you to apply online. And Greg, do you know, were there any comments that Jean wanted to make regarding Carrie and her joining this board potentially if this board approves of that recommendation?
I don't have any comments.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on what we are about to vote on? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion. Entertain a motion for the appointment of Carrie Gilbert. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion. A second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item five is approval of the May 14th, 2021 Audit Committee meeting minutes. Any modifications to the minutes? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on the minutes from May the 14th? Hearing and seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Motion by Cedarborg, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Greg. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Now under agenda items, we will first do 6A, which is our only consent item. Approve quarterly fraud report covering April 1st, 2021 to June 30th, 2021. Is there any member of the public wishing to comment on this sole consent item before this board makes a motion? Hearing and seeing none, I'll close the public portion, bring it back for a vote. Any members want to make a motion? Motion to approve?
Second.
We have a motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Under 6B, discussion and action items, review and approve County Clerk and Registrar of Voters Department Head Transition Report. And so with that, staff is going to give a brief presentation.
Good morning. I'm Carol Diaz. I'm interim audit manager with the Auditor Controller's Office. For item 6B, we conducted a department head transition review for the county clerk department. We reviewed cash, capital, and inventoryable assets, as well as compliance and payroll. For this transition review, we had two findings. Finding number one was pertaining to their inventoryable assets. We tested 10 inventoryable assets, and out of the 10, there were two items that were not able to be located. The department searched several locations. I believe there were three locations, and we were not able to locate the two missing assets. Our recommendation for the department is to examine their inventoryable asset procedures to ensure that the assets are tracked and monitored more carefully, and to have the listing complete, organized, and easy accessible. Finding number two pertains to the certification of asset form that was not signed by any of the parties as of the final day of service of the outgoing department head. Our recommendation for the department is to follow Management Directives 418 and require both the outgoing and incoming department heads to sign and date the certification of assets upon leaving the office. And with that, sorry, if you have any questions, I can answer. Otherwise, James Cuss is on the line to answer.
Very good. And Carol, what were the two items that were missing?
One was a monitor, and the other one was a scanner.
And do you know when that monitor and scanner were purchased new? So basically, how old were these items?
I don't think they had that information as part of their listing. I believe there were some missing information on the listing as well. So
maybe I'll ask James. James, I know that you're on the line. So do you know by any chance how old this monitor or scanner were?
Not off the top of my head. They weren't new items, but they were part of our inventory group. The scanner, I should note, is the desktop variety. We're not talking a large high-speed scanner or something along those lines. This was a one that we actually use at our clerk services, so it's a kind of a quick scan of any items that a client has brought in for passport or other services, and this was old enough that it was no longer used at a frontline desk. So I don't have the exact dates, I'm sorry.
Is it possible that these items, since they weren't able to be located, that at some point new equipment was purchased and those were maybe taken back by ITSD? Your thoughts on that, James?
I actually don't believe these items would have been taken back by ITSD. They may have gone to surplus, but then they should be on the asset report as having been moved to surplus. We do have a full listing of all items, and every June we're sitting there. You got someone running around underneath all the desks and to tracking all the numbers. So I'm a little frustrated by this, knowing that they'd actually, and they were doing it here just a couple months ago. I do agree with the findings, by the way, that we could do even more in that, including when I was reviewing it, they didn't have the current location of the item. They just checked off that the item was found or it was still with someone without actually stating it was at this location or at this specific desk grouping. So I think that can be definitely tracked better. And I think that would actually solve this specific one. And I say that because monitors in particular, since they are owned by the department, at least and prior to the most current iteration that ISD is doing with the big, large single monitors, this is an older 24-inch or something monitor owned by the department. And they get moved around as people move around. And I don't know where this one ended up. I'm banged. It's in some storage room somewhere, shifted off to the side when someone shifted out and next person in wanted their own monitors, and I don't know.
Not a problem.
I think it should be better tracking on that. They've got this nice big spreadsheet tracking everything. Why don't you have location? I agree with the auditor's report on that.
Yep, and I saw that the letter that you prepared, you've agreed to, you know, some new procedures and all that kind of stuff. So I've got no issues with that. So I was just curious to see if, because the county has so much equipment, we've got several different departments that are very large. And again, if this is older equipment, I'm not as concerned as if this was equipment that was purchased in the last 6 months that somehow has disappeared. And it doesn't sound like that's the case. So that's the reason for my question.
No.
All right, very good. Any other questions for James or Carol?
I have sort of an overarching question because we go through this. Unfortunately, our department's small, you know, so it's not as I think about any of the larger departments doing this project. I mean, do you normally have some findings of that type of things, monitors, printers, and things that you can't find every time you do one of these, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a certain percentage kind of trail, you know, that it's good to alert the department of that, hey, you guys really need to keep track of all this stuff. But, I mean, I think I had speakers on my desk and a big woofer underneath that was probably off or on that list, or if it's still on that list, I'm going to have trouble next year because they finally put in the big monitor with the speaker, and those just IT just pulled those out. You know, I'm not sure we're going to catch that woofer is gone if that's on there. I don't know the granular detail, you know, it goes to, but I look at that list every year and I'm like, well, I hope the person in my office that did this, and it's not DSS, you know, I got 32 employees, not like DSS where there's 2,000. So, I mean, I think the process is good, but having some sort of idea that there's a normal amount of slippage, what do you consider, I mean, at what point do you start worrying that a department really is out of whack with, they can't keep track of where their computers are?
And we normally look at the way their inventoryable asset listing is. A lot of departments do have a good listing of the assets. They're just missing attributes as to, like, the location, like James was saying. So that makes it a little harder to find it, because sometimes they come back and say, oh, we found it. So, yeah, sometimes they just don't know where the item is, but, you know, eventually they find it. So
yeah, I don't know if there necessarily is a definition of what, you know, is de minimis, and then when it enters the concerning category. And it sounds like, again, with new equipment, newer equipment, that's not the bigger issue. I heard James say that the monitor might have been a 24-inch monitor, which maybe was an older monitor. And so I can appreciate that we continue to evolve and establish new systems. So really, if there's any glaring problems that you identify, you'll lay that out in your report.
Right.
You saw this as just one finding where they can make some corrections.
Right.
And overall, you're satisfied with the response from, in this case, the elections department, correct?
Correct.
Excellent. Any other questions for James? Yes.
Quick question. This is just trying to understand the process. Is this across the board a process by which each department inventories their assets that is universal, or is it up to each department to track them?
Yeah, and it's universal. If you refer back to Management Directives 400, you should be able to know what to do with your inventoryable and capital assets.
I have just one quick question. So now that these two items haven't been found, do they get taken off the inventoryable asset list so that they don't get shown up again?
Yes, and that's what we're expecting. If we do a follow-up, we're expecting these assets to not be part of their listing anymore.
All right. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion. If there's no further questions, I'll entertain a motion for approval of this item, 6B. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion. A second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to item 6C. Thank you, James. Moving on to item 6C, review and approve Human Resource Department Head Transition Report. Carol, I think you're presenting this one as well.
Yeah. So we also conducted a department head transition review for the Human Resources Department. Like I mentioned before, during this transition review, we review cash, inventoryable assets, and capital assets, compliance forms, and payroll. For this transition review, we had two findings as well. Finding number one was related to their inventoryable asset listing. The list that the department provided did not have all the required attributes, such as the acquisition date of the asset, cost of the asset, the disposition date, method of disposition, etc., all which can be found on Management Directives 413.2. Our recommendation to the department is to update and maintain a complete listing of inventoryable assets with all the required information as required by Management Directive 413.2. a second finding was pertaining to their compliance. For this transition review, we found that for Form A, two of the 13 selected employees did not fill out the form completely. And for Form 700, one of the 13 employees did not fill out the form in a timely manner. And in addition, certification of asset form was not signed by neither the outgoing or incoming department heads. Our recommendation for this finding is for the department to ensure the review of its processes and procedures for receiving and reviewing required forms and providing training to staff to ensure periodic compliance filings. And if you have any questions, you can go ahead and ask me. And we have Paige Benavides here, too.
I see that the HR department responded back and agreed with your recommendation, so there's no issue there. Any comments from board members on this particular item?
The conflict of interest forms, is that the gift and gratuities form?
Yeah, so there are a couple of forms, like the quarterly reports of gifts and gratuities, the statement of economic interest, and the conflict of interest affidavit. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the conflict of interest affidavit that says that I have no interest in a contract, or is it just the gift and gratuities form?
FCAC 250 is an internal form that we have, and that's the conflict of interest affidavit.
Okay. I wasn't aware in that anybody except department head, if I'm talking about the right form, it's the gift and gratuities form. A lot of employees fill that out.
Yeah.
But under our AP1, only the department heads sign I am advocating for more people to sign it, but only the department heads sign that I have no interest in any contracts that we did this.
Yeah, and we had no issue with that FCAC 255, the conflict of interest affidavit with the department. I believe Form A and Form 700 were the ones that were incomplete.
Right, I'm just not sure which form we're talking about, whether it's the gift and gratuities form or the form you sign that says I've had no interest in any contracts.
Oh, it's the gift and gratuities.
Yeah. Thanks.
And just an FYI, that it isn't just department heads. It's usually department heads and their high-level managerial staff that will sign that. Like I signed it when I was over at probation. I did one every year.
Yeah. I'm trying to get our AP1, I've had that over to the CAO updated so that more people are included in that. I have all my attorneys sign one annually, but they're not required to do it quarterly. But in light of things, it's a good signature to have to make sure people are making a representation about any involvement in contracts. That it's a project we had and we kind of put on hold for a while with everything else that was going on.
Any other questions from board members? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion. And is there a motion on this? To approve the transition report?
Move to approve.
So there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion. I'll take Mr. Villanova's second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Carol, thank you for your presentations. We appreciate that. And we're now moving on to item 7, which is staff updates. So Oscar, do you have anything? Or Carol, do you have anything you want to share with us? Any updates?
I don't believe we have any updates at the moment.
All right. Excellent. Then next is item 8, which is adjournment. So I'll entertain a motion for adjournment. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. See you next time.